de Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review sur Art District, une chronique en anglais de Madeleine d'Este sur les romans de science-fiction et de fantasy. Here is Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review on Art District, a program hosted by Madeleine d'Este about speculative fiction and fantasy books.
Welcome to Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review. What is speculative fiction, you ask? It's anything outside your everyday reality. It's science fiction, it's fantasy, it's horror, dystopia, paranormal, alternative history, apocalyptic. I'm Madeleine d'Este, I love to read and I love books, and I'm here to tell you about a book I really liked. Today I'm talking about The Haunting of Hill House by Shirley Jackson. This is a classic novel about a haunted house and was first published in 1959. Stephen King has described The Haunting of Hill House as one of the most important horror books of the 20th century, and it inspired The Shining, according to some. It's also been the basis for two films. So let's talk about the book. Dr. Montague is a paranormal academic researcher, and he rents a haunted house for a summer to undertake a research project. Hill House has a frightening reputation and a history of hauntings after a series of tragic events in the house. The local townspeople are fearful of the place and won't come anywhere near it, and anyone who rents the house barely stays a week. But determined to document the phenomenon, Dr. Montague seeks out a few research assistants to join him at the house for the summer. Dr. Montague writes to Eleanor. Eleanor's 32, but a woman who's never had her own life. She's been a carer for her mother for years, and now her mother is dead, she's filled with grief and guilt-ridden. And she's dominated by her sister and her brother-in-law. Eleanor receives a letter from Dr. Montague and decides to leave her life behind and take up his offer. Eleanor was chosen by Dr. Montague from a list of prospective believers, names sourced from various paranormal societies, newspaper articles, and parapsychologists. Eleanor had a weird experience as a child, which was recorded as a poltergeist event by a paranormal society, but the event itself has been long forgotten by Eleanor. Eleanor is joined at the house by Theodora, a free-spirited sensitive, and also by Luke, a relative of the owners and an heir to the house. The house is also managed by a husband and wife team, the Dudleys, locals who refuse to stay overnight. Mrs. Dudley has very strict rules about the house and constantly repeating her rules like a recorded message. The four settle into a rhythm of lazy days but frightening nights. Eleanor and Theodora become fast friends, but in a way that reminded me of schoolgirl friendships, where the friendship gets very intense very quickly and borders on obsessive as jealousies arise, blurring the lines between friendship, crushes, and wanting more. The paranormal events build and bleed into the daylight hours, seeming to centre around Eleanor, while Theodora and Luke's friendship grows and they turn on Eleanor and exclude her. But this doesn't seem to perturb Eleanor and she continues to pursue their affections. And then Dr. Montague's arrogant and overbearing wife and her friend Arthur appear with their own methods of communicating with the dead through a planchette, which is similar to a Ouija board. They discount the doctor and the others for their lack of results so far. Meanwhile, the house itself, which is built on irregular angles, is causing everyone strange feelings of vertigo, disruption, and disorientation. They need a map to navigate the house, and doors keep closing in on themselves, no matter how they prop them open. The house is moving and shifting, creaking and crying. Names are scrawled over walls and fierce knocking keeps them all awake throughout the night. Now, this is not a book about manifested ghosts and jump scares. It's far more subtle and psychological as we follow Eleanor's increasingly wild and weird perspective. She seems to take a delight in the strangeness and some kind of pleasure at being singled out by the house. Now, while this was written over 50 years ago, The Haunting of Hill House is really a step forward in the style of high Gothic horror. The book uses many of the key elements of Gothic horror, but in new ways. Supernatural goings-on, of course. There's the high emotions overwhelming everyone's rationality. Broken families, not only the history of the house, but the visitors themselves. There's obviously a mansion and a gloomy setting, although Hill House seems quite sunny and idyllic during the day. And of course, a family mystery. But the book brings the Gothic out of the Victorian period and sets it firmly in the 1950s. This book has stuck with me ever since I finished it. When I closed the last page, I immediately turned back and trawled through the earlier parts, looking for clues and explanations. The ending is very open and thought-provoking, and I have to admit, I'm still processing it. But if you like creaky floorboards, knocking on doors in the middle of the night, mansions, family tragedies, brandy, and obsessive friendships, I urge you to check out The Haunting of Hill House. Thanks for listening to Madeline's Speculative Fiction Review. If you have any feedback or just want to say hello, you can contact me at Art District Radio by email at mde@artdistrict-radio.com. Or if you'd like to listen to past reviews, go to artdistrictradio.com/podcasts. And until next time, happy reading.
C'était Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review sur Art District, à retrouver à 2h du matin, les lundis, mercredis et vendredis, spécialement pour nos auditeurs internationaux, et à midi, les mardis et jeudis. It was Madeleine's Speculative Fiction Review on Art District. You can listen to this program on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays at 2 a.m. CET, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 12 p.m. CET.